Psalm reading for today is Psalm 29. Give unto me the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forests, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people, and the Lord will bless people with peace.
Once again, that we have the privilege to gather around your word. We gather here in safety, and we thank you for the desire that we have to gather with other believers and to learn more about Jesus and to strengthen one another in what the Bible calls the body of Christ, that we are all who believe in Jesus are members in different capacities, and that we could love and respect each other and as a community seek thy will in our lives and in our communities, in our country. That we could be that light in the world, the hands and feet of Jesus here on earth. And that we would have compassion even on those who are less fortunate, whether they haven't heard about Jesus, whether they're trapped in the tendencies of our flesh, the weaknesses, the sin that all of us is so full of from the time of Adam and Eve, that none of us would see ourselves as being above any other, but that we would be servants as Christ was the greatest servant of all to us and even laid down his life for us so we would also do for others. I pray that you would strengthen each one of us. Each of us has different temptations, different struggles, and you know us better than we know ourselves, Lord, and we pray that you would give us what we need for each day. Many are sick, many are struggling in their mind, and you know those things that we often can't even put our finger on or understand, and even our doctors and the most learned people in around us don't have the skills and knowledge to be the great physician as our Lord is. And we also want to give thanks above all for the blessings that we've been given so abundantly. We have families, we have people who love us, we have plenty of food and good houses, and I pray that we could have thankfulness in our hearts for the blessings that you've given us, most especially knowledge and faith of our Savior Jesus Christ. And let us pray that prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
May the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, through that indwelling Holy Spirit, sanctify us through the reading of His Word on this hour of grace. Amen. If we can take our Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs. That's the book of Proverbs, and we'll look at chapter 9 and we'll read it to its entirety. And we'll read it in Jesus' name. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanted understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of my wine, which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will yet be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. A foolish woman is clamorous, she is simple, and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the floor of her house, on a seat in the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that their guests are in the depths of hell. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. When we look at this chapter in Proverbs, and I do pray that everybody reads Proverbs daily. There are 31 Proverbs, chapters in Proverbs, one for each day. And if you read them daily, you will recognize not only God's wisdom, but the pattern of what the Bible is doing in every book. Wisdom starts with the word wisdom. You just got to go back a chapter. When did wisdom begin? In the 22nd of chapter 8, it says, The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting. From the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the foundations of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundation of the earth. Then I was by him, as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were in the sons of men, the called, the sons of men. That's wisdom. That's where it started. So when you look at this, the book of Proverbs, the first four chapters, it's a father talking to his son, giving him words of wisdom. Chapter 5, 6, and 7 is advice about avoiding adultery or the adulteress. The announcement of wisdom, wisdom's cry in chapter 8, and then wisdom hosts the banquet. The culmination of wisdom, the banquet. We'll try to look at this in ways of that has impacted the whole world as in a way, especially the body of Christ. And in the New Testament where it speaks of banquets and a marriage, and try to look at that and how the pattern is built and what are the important verse or verses in this chapter 9. So let's go through it. Wisdom hath builded her house. How do you build a house? And it does say house. So if you look at Matthew, and I'll be referring to lots of different verses, so if you follow, you might get my train of thought, and if you don't, bear with me, as there is lots here. The carnal world would say there's a difference between a house and a home. God's the God of order. He builds a house. And wisdom hath builded her house. In chapter 7 of Matthew, there are two groups. There's the group, the godly wisdom, and there's the groups that have the wisdom of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they're different. In verse 24 to 25, so I'll read 24 to 27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, the rock of Christ. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock, the rock of Christ, the Word of God, our Savior. Proverbs 9, 1 to 6 is speaking of this. Proverbs 8, 3 to 13 and 17 is speaking of wisdom for the Christian, for the body of Christ, for the sons and daughters of God, for the brothers and sisters of Jesus. 26 of Matthew. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. In Proverbs, the end of the chapter of 9, verses 13 to 18, speaks of this group. It also speaks of it in chapters 1 of Proverbs, 11 to 33. This second group despise wisdom. Hate the idea of God. Don't want anything to do with it. Propagate sin. Promote the world, the flesh, and the devil. And are blind to see God and God's glory. So, wisdom is building her house. She's hosting a banquet. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. I believe the seven pillars are in James. Chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. What is pure? It's focused on God. Peaceable. Peaceable is, in Philippians 4, 7, it talks about peace, the peace of God. We look at that. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Your heart and mind will be kept through Christ Jesus. Gentle. Proverbs 25:15. By long suffering is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. What's a soft tongue? It's received. It's the person that the tongue is speaking to receives it, and usually it's the instruction or the rebuke of a brother and sister in Christ, but it's received because it's a soft tongue. And it makes impact. It hits the mark. It breaks the bone. So the person can change and take a 180 in a different direction. It's easy. Matthew 11:30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The body of Christ, the maidens, are yoked to Christ. It's easy. There is a burden, but it's light. Good fruits. John 15:5. I am the vine, ye are the branches, the bride of Christ. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. See, Jesus knows this. As us, the bride, the branches, in order for us to bring forth much fruit, he has to be there through that Holy Spirit. That's why we bring forth good fruits. Without partiality, without hypocrisy. Back to the book of Proverbs 24, verse 23. Trying to create a pattern. These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. We are not to judge with respect of persons. We are to have righteous judgment, wisdom from above. So we have wisdom has builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. We know what that looks like. What is a pillar? It holds things together. The seven pillars in James holds things together. She hath mingled her wine. You notice that? Mingled her wine with what? Water. The wine had to be weakened. It couldn't be potent. You have to have a sharp mind. You have to be sober. You have to be alert. So wisdom is making the wine so that it's watered with what? The Word of God. The wisdom of God. The knowledge from above. And she furnished her tables. Who did she furnish her tables with? She had sent out her maidens, the bride of Christ. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Where is she doing this? In chapter 8, verses 3 to 13 and verse 17. She crieth out at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming of the in at the doors, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to who? The sons of men, the called, the chosen, the elect. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. You notice wisdom are simple, you're foolish, but you need wisdom so that you have an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. I hate wickedness. It's an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. I sit, I have a conversation, I listen to the conversation, I give feedback, I hear and receive feedback, and it says here, it says, there is nothing forward or perverse in them. I absorb it. I don't walk away from it. I don't hide from it. I don't say, we'll talk about this another day. That's what a forward person will do. I don't want to deal with this today. A person with wisdom will listen. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Why? Because the wisdom from above is more precious, is better than rubies, and in all things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord, if you're going to put an equal sign to the fear of the Lord, put it here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What is that fear? The fear of the Lord equals. And this goes back to Genesis 3:15. The enmity. God is creating an enmity between his seed and Satan's seed. To hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. In the 17th verse says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Why does it say seek me early? Because when you're younger, your mind is like a sponge. You can soak things up. You can memorize. You can learn very quickly. It is so important for our house is built on the rock of Christ, when the pillars are holding things together, that we would seek wisdom, read about wisdom in the Word, have understanding. It is so important for the young. She crieth, this is the chapter which says, she crieth about the places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. For as for him that wanted understanding, she saith to him, come. What does she say? She killed beasts. Says that, but she says, come eat of my bread. Drink of my wine, which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. It's giving us instructions of what's happening here. We have the banquet. Wisdom is hosting a banquet. The house is built. The pillars are standing up. The beasts are killed. The wine is mingled. The table is furnished. The bride of Christ is around them. Come, eat of my bread and drink of my wine, which I have mingled. But there's a counterfeit. And we talked about it in one of the references. And the counterfeit is 13 to 18 in this text. A foolish woman is clamorous, she is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat of the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither, and as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that their guests are in the depths of hell. You don't have to go far to find the enemy. Chapter 1 of Proverbs, 11th verse. And this, remember, the first four chapters of Proverbs is a father teaching his son. It's so important that we understand the counterfeit. 11th verse. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. That's what the flesh, the world, and the devil say. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive and as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall find our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Let's just have a party. My son, walk not. This is the father to the son. Walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. When do we seek wisdom? Very early. 5 years, 6 years, 7 years old. So that you're not, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Don't even hang around with them. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are they. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused. Why did they refuse? Because they're re-influenced by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Because they did not seek wisdom early. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruits of their own way and be filled with their own devices. I can pull up my own bootstraps. I'll take care of this myself. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of the fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me dwells safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Quiet from fear of evil. Those are the ones that are the ones in chapter 9, 1 to 6. They're at the banquet. The table is furnished, the maidens, the bride of Christ is there. The simple that want understanding. Come eat of my bread and drink of my wine, which I have mingled. What does that remind of us of? Chapter 22 of Matthew. And chapter 14 of Luke. We'll go to Matthew 22. Parable of the marriage and the king's son. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again and by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. Why? It was not important to them. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and he destroyed those murders and burned up their city. Then saith he to the servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go therefore to the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage. So those servants went out to the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there was there a man which had on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how comest thou hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. He didn't have the wedding garment that was appropriate. He did not want the robe of righteousness. He did not want anything to do with God. He had the garment of works. He had the garment of, this is me, this is what I represent. And then he said, said to the king, Bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into utter darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, few are chosen. He presented his works in the wedding garment because he was ashamed of the bread. He was ashamed of the blood. He was ashamed of the bridegroom, so he was cast out. If you look at the 14th chapter of Luke, there's a few areas here, and I'll just go through them from 7 to 11 in the parable of the heavens banquet. 7 to 11 is Jesus attends a banquet. He put forth a parable to those which were bidden when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to the wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. It's interesting, Jesus is saying, those that were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, they look for the they didn't recognize what it says in Proverbs in 25, 6, and 7. They didn't see this proverb. They didn't know it. I should be in the chief room. They didn't recognize basically the proverb which says if you go to see the king. He says, stand at the back and speak from there. Don't go to the front. Because if you say something, then you say something that's not unwise, you will be sent to the back. But if you're at the back and you say something that is wise, you'll be brought forth to the front so that you can be heard clearly. They didn't understand that. They were just thinking of themselves. It says here, but when they are bidden, go and sit down to the lowest room, and when he that bade thee come, he may say unto thee, friend, go up to the higher, then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Why are we humbled? Because we are nothing, and we are not worthy of salvation. So we need a Savior. And he exalts us through the cross. So the parable of the heaven's banquet is another pattern. In 15 it goes, and when one of them that sat at meat and with them heard these things, he said unto them, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said unto him, a certain man made great supper and bade many. He sent them his servant a supper time to say to them that they were bidden, come, for all the things are now ready. Another, this is the same idea as what's happening in the proverb. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs to go and see. I pray to be excused. Another said, I bought 5 oxen. I have to prove them. Can I be excused? Another said, I got married, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and to the lanes in the city and bring hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. The poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. The bride. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Why the first didn't get to taste the supper? Because they were too good. They only looked for the high rooms. They didn't understand the wisdom of the banquet. When we look at this, it says here, probably the most important verse in this proverb is, come, eat of my bread and drink of my wine, which I have mingled. That is so important. The body and the blood of Christ. Partaking of the body and blood of Christ. Do you remember what he said? If you do not take of my blood, you don't take of my body, you have no part with me. You basically saying, and most of the disciples, most of the people that were following him left because they thought, this is kind of like cannibalism. They basically said, I don't want anything to do with that. What is wisdom saying? Have you partaken of the blood, the body and blood of Christ? John 6. John 6:53-59. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of the blood, ye have no life in you. Jesus is your life. Whoso eateth of my flesh and drinketh of my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. That's the promise. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth of my flesh and drinketh of my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Luke 22:19. And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." We remember the body and blood of Christ. Why do we remember the body and blood of Christ? Because he asked us to. He was clear when he said, "Take of this body broken for you. Drink of this blood shed for you." You are taking of Jesus himself. You are partaking in the sacrament that is so important. Do often. How does that look day by day? Oh, did not our hearts burn when he spoke the scriptures? You're taking of the word of God. You're immersing it in you. What does it say in Revelation? You're swallowing the book. What did John do? He swallowed the book. It was sweet as honey. When it went into the stomach, it was bitter. Oh, did my heart burn when he spoke to me the scriptures? The nuggets in the word, the bread, the wine, the conversation, the information, the knowledge, the wisdom, the hope that passes all understanding. He prepares a place for us, a home. It's a privilege to be a Christian. Because we don't deserve it. He has to prepare the bride to be pure, blameless, and holy to a worthy bridegroom who loves us. Have you taken of the blood? Have you taken of the body? You do it daily. You burn in the word. Wisdom has built her house. The seven pillars of James are there. She have killed her beast, but she doesn't mention the beasts after that. She mentions the bread and the mingled wine, the body and blood of Christ, the conversations you have, the information you collect, the witness you present, the testimony that's in you, the hands and feet of Jesus. You are representatives of him in this world. You are ambassadors to Christ. He died for you and me. We stand because we worship a king. We die daily because we have a warfare, but we have the armor of God so we can move in his kingdom. We are blessed by the presence of the Holy Spirit which indwells. And when we sin, we hurt and we grieve. But those sins are taken care of by the blood of the cross. As far as the east is from the west, we are confident in this one thing. He is the author and he is the finisher of our faith individually. And he has to present a blameless bride God the Father will do that. You are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. The Holy Spirit will cut away the things that are not necessary in your life, and He will give you new desires in the Word of God. He will give you new things to love. And how do you fear the Lord? You will hate the things that God hates, and you will love the things that God loves. We have such a precious Savior. Let us close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for that wisdom from above. We thank you that you have given us the ears to hear the cry of wisdom, the hearts to believe in a Savior that saves, in a Lord that lords, in an armor that protects, in a hope of a home in heaven where we will dwell forever with Him in glory, and we will be able to take in His light, which lights heaven, and live forever, and do what is necessary to be done there, which we have no glimpse of here. Father, we thank you for these people, the bride of Christ. We thank you for this church. And we thank you for the salvation that you've gifted us as the bride. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face upon you, shine upon you, and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's close with 485.